season, as I've mentioned, many refer to it, and we call it as well, this Advent season. The word Advent is a Latin word. It comes from the Latin word Adventus. It means the arrival, a time of waiting and preparation, specifically for us as Christians, for the birth of Christ. And so we stand in between two Advents. We stand in between Jesus' first Advent when he came from heaven to earth, and we stand in between of his second coming, or his second Advent, where he will come back to earth to make all things new, where there be no more dying, no more crying, no more pain, no more sickness. But we live in that tension of the already and the not yet. But even in the midst of that, he still gives us hope. And that's what this whole series has been about for these past few weeks. Hope is here. And I want to continue that series today. So we're going to go to the book of Luke. We're going to go back there again. We were there last week. Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45. I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet just for the reading of God's word. Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. And we got it for you on the screen. Shout out to our production team and shout out to our worship team for leading us this morning. Can y'all bless God for our worship team and our production team in here holding us down and all those who are serving today. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. It says, in those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For you see, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy inside me." Everybody say joy. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her." I want to go back to verse 41. It says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed. How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our Hope is Here series. And I want to call today's message, "You're Not Alone in This." Can you tell the person beside you, "Hey family, I want to let you know this, you're not alone in this." Find somebody else across the room, say, "Hey neighbor, got a word for you. You are not alone in this." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and grace and your goodness. We thank you for who you are, for all that you have done. Lord, we thank you for worship and inviting us into your presence this morning. Lord, as we receive your word, would you speak to us through your word? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? Would you remove distraction? Is anything that would get in the way of us hearing from you? In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands, 9 a.m. as you go to your seat. You're not alone in this. Now, family, I want to begin our time today, and I want to solicit your engagement and ask for your help with this, but I want to start off by saying this. There are many games that you can win by yourself. Connect Four, for example. Where are my Connect Four masters up in here today? Come on, let me see where. Come on, there we go. I see y'all. Shout out to the Connect Four gang. Connect Four. One of my classic games that I love to play even with our family and with our kids is the game of Trouble. Where are my Trouble people at in here? Some other games like Cornhole and Madden, yeah. And 2K. Yeah. And this one might get some crowd participation. The infamous game known as Uno. Yeah. Come on, somebody. A lot of relationships have been damaged because of Uno. Especially new ones like Uno No Mercy. But y'all, there is one game that you cannot win by yourself, no matter how hard you try. And that is the game known as Spades. Where are my Spades players in the place today? Come on, somebody. I'm gonna test whether or not some of y'all are good Spades players, because I got a feeling some of us are lying right now. When you look at this hand right here, how many books, just by show of hands and by fingers, just put your fingers up in there, how many books can you get out of this hand? Let me see, because there is a right answer. At least Come on, hold them up high. Let me see. Come on, shout it out. Let me see. Let me see. What we got? I see five. I see four. I see seven over here. Oh, you need to be my space partner. I see a high joker, the big joker, the little joker, the ace of spades. Now, it can get a little tricky if you got that two of spades and it's out there. We got an ace of spades. Now, I'm going to test some of y'all because, listen, if you got a handful of red, that means somebody cutting. So I already knew some of y'all were shaky. Ace of, you got an ace of diamonds, you got a king of diamonds, you got a queen of diamonds, you got a queen of hearts. Now I'm going to let y'all know, I can work that five of spades right there because I don't got a whole lot of clubs in my hand. I ain't in a club like 50 Cent back in the day, so I don't got a whole lot of clubs. I'm cutting clubs. But some of y'all in here, I wonder if your spade skill. Now, I'm not going to put nobody out there, but one of the things I love doing is hanging out with our team from time to time. And at a team night not too long ago, I'm not going to name no names. I ain't saying no names. But there were some people talking trash to your pastor when it came to spades, and they had to get humbled real quick. I gave a caveat. I said, hey, if I beat you, you cannot say I'm leaving the church. And I'm really trying not to say no names right now. One of them is in this room. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm just going to leave it at that. But y'all, what's interesting about the game of spades is that you can't win the whole entire game essentially by yourself. You need a partner. Now, if you got a bad partner, that person is reneging, playing the wrong cards, don't know how to count books. They sitting on eight books and said, I only got three. What do you mean? Playing diamonds when it's clubs that's leading, even though they got clubs in their hands. Oh man, some of us have been with bad partners. You played with bad partners. But let me say this, but if you got a good partner, they could take a bad hand and turn it into a winning hand. If you got a good partner, they could take some cards that other people might not even count as books, but because of their experience and because of their expertise and because of their wisdom and because of their knowledge of the game and their observation of how other people at the table are playing, they can take a bad hand and turn it into a winning hand. You may not have much to work with, but a good partner can take nothing and turn it into something. And I just want to pause parenthetically and say this is early in my sermon, but that sounds a lot like God. Because God will take something that looks bad and turn it into something good. God will take something that feels bad and bring about some goodness out of it. God will take all things and work them together for the good of them who love him and are called according to his purpose. God will take a bad hand and turn it into a winning one. It shows us this. I want you to write this down early. The power of partnership. And the reason why I think that's so fitting as we talk about Luke chapter 1 is because here in Luke chapter 1, here's what we see. We see Mary, who is someone who actually has every reason to actually feel alone. Mary is someone who has experienced a revelation and an encounter with Gabriel the angel in the early part of Luke chapter 1, where she was told that she would give birth to the Messiah and to the Savior of the world. And if we're honest, this news from the outset and from the beginning, though it sounds good on the surface, Mary was a young woman who was unmarried at the moment, pledged to be married, and even though she's facing this miraculous encounter and hears this apparently good news, but if we really kind of contemplate her situation for a moment, y'all, this is also a socially complicated situation. And we know that because we learned a few weeks ago that as Joseph finds out that Mary was pregnant, the one thing that he wanted to do was to divorce her quietly, because on the surface, it appears that she has been unfaithful. So in this moment, y'all, while we look at this story and rejoice about it, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Mary, who maybe for a few moments could feel as if she's alone. She's walking through something that she did not expect to happen. She's walking through something that was essentially unplanned. And I wonder if Mary felt the weight of fear. And maybe for a moment she dealt with the weight of shame and even dealt with the weight of isolation. I wonder if she was asking these questions. Would people really believe me in what I said? Clearly, we see from Joseph's response that he didn't necessarily believe upon first response that she was telling the truth. Which is why Joseph then had to have a dream where God sent another angel to give Joseph the green light to say what has happened in her is actually from God, not from anybody else. But in this moment, y'all, Mary is dealing with, I believe in many ways, she wrestled with some feelings of maybe loneliness or isolation. Then you have her relative, some believe her older cousin Elizabeth, who we learned about last week. Elizabeth was somebody who was advanced in age. She was older in age. She and her husband Zachariah, who was a priest in the temple during that time, and they had been childless their entire lives. The Bible says around Luke chapter 1 that she had been barren. But at the same time, she also now bears the challenge of a miraculous pregnancy where she's told that she will give birth to John the Baptist, who would essentially be the forerunner to the arrival of Jesus. I want you to put yourself in both Mary and Elizabeth's shoes for a moment that's unlikely and expected and unexpected. A moment where both of them might be feeling perplexed, overjoyed, but maybe at the same time feeling as if they're alone, as if nobody understands what they're going through. Because prior to this moment, there was nobody else that was experiencing things like this. But I wonder in this moment if they felt as if they were alone. And when I think about Mary and Elizabeth and this miraculous moment, but some of the things that they dealt with internally, it caused me to begin to wrestle with the fact and think about how just like Mary and Elizabeth may have found themselves feeling isolated and like no one could understand what they were experiencing, I believe that many times you and I, many of you in here and online, have felt the same. You've gone through life feeling as if you were alone. Maybe as a single parent, you're navigating life alone, it feels like. Maybe for some of us, you're struggling with an illness and you're struggling with a loss and it feels as if you are alone. Maybe you're surrounded by people all the time, but you constantly feel unseen by people. Maybe some of you are unsure where to find support for what you are walking through. As a matter of fact, studies have actually shown, a recent study last year released by the U.S. Surgeon General found, I want you to write this, they found that 30% of people feel loneliness each and every week. That 1 in 3 people feel loneliness and experience loneliness each week, which means if that statistic and number is true, that 1 in 3 of all of us here in this place and watching online have dealt with loneliness and feelings of loneliness throughout the course of this week. But even beyond this loneliness, I believe that there's a deeper spiritual need. There's a spiritual need that you and I have that only God can ultimately satisfy when it comes to loneliness. Some of you are here today and you feel alone. You feel overlooked. You feel misunderstood. You feel as if people have turned their backs on you. You feel as if nobody understands what it is that you're going through. Maybe some of you, you've had the most stressful week than you can remember in recent memory. Maybe some people walked down on your life and maybe some things happened this week that you did not expect and you felt as if you couldn't talk to anybody about it. You felt overwhelmed and you felt dismissed by others and you felt discouraged. And so some of you are carrying a weight that nobody knows about and you feel alone. Just by show of hands, how many of y'all have ever felt lonely before? How many of y'all have ever felt like I'm by myself in this thing? And I want you to know this, if you're in this place, if you have felt like this, Mary and Elizabeth more than likely can identify with what it is that you're experiencing. But if you feel lonely right now, and if you have felt feelings of loneliness, I want to encourage you that in the midst of you feeling isolated or feeling like you're in a situation by yourself, I want to let you know there is still good news for those who are lonely. And is this, that just as God did not leave Mary or Elizabeth to navigate their situation alone, he also does not leave us in our situation to navigate it alone. I thought I'd get a few more amens right there. That just as God was present with Mary and Elizabeth, I'm here to let you know that God is also present with you and your household today as well. I'm gonna say it one more time because I don't think you got it. Just as God did not abandon Mary and Elizabeth in the midst of what they were going through, he's also not abandoning you in the midst of what you're going through as well. That he is Emmanuel, God with us. And what I love about this passage of scripture, and not just here in Luke 1, 39 through 45, but the entire chapter of the book of Luke, there is so much joy and hope filled in this passage of scripture. And here's what's interesting. It follows on the heels of barrenness, confusion, and even disgrace in Elizabeth's case. But here in the text, the Bible says this around verse 39, that Mary sets out and hurries to a town in the hill country of Judah. Watch this. Where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Here's why I get so excited about this. I was reading over this last night, and I feel like God just spoke it to me in a new way. He helped me to see something that I didn't ponder and think about before. She goes to, it doesn't say just Elizabeth's house, Zechariah's house. Why is this so important? Because if you go back to the earlier part of Luke chapter 1, you find out that Zechariah and Elizabeth were people of righteous character. They were trying to honor God. They were trying to be obedient to God. But their entire life, they went without having a child. Their house, let me say it like this, felt empty. But it's interesting, y'all, because they went from feeling empty in their house to now Mary pulls up to the house. And the scene is completely different. What started off as an empty house has now led to a full house. And I'm not talking about Uncle Jesse full house. And Michelle full house from back in the day, mid-90s. What I'm talking about is it's not just Zechariah and Elizabeth in this house, but it's Zechariah in this house. There's Elizabeth in this house. There's John the Baptist miraculously in the womb of Elizabeth in this house. And now there's Mary in this house. And now there's also Jesus now being conceived in the womb of Mary in this house. Why is this good news? Because they have gone from an empty house to now a full house. And I want to encourage some of you all today who feel empty on the inside. Can I let you know that God specializes and filling empty and barren places. Some of y'all came in here today feeling empty on the inside. Can I let you know that God is so good that he loves to fill empty and barren and broken and hurting and lost places and spaces on the inside of us. I'm here to let you know that if you came in here feeling empty, that God wants to fill you. The principle also shows us this, that no matter how bad things appear and feel at times. For some of you, you're walking through something right now that no matter how bad it feels, here's the encouraging thing. God is not done with you. God has not left you by yourself. He specializes in being present in the most difficult times. He specializes in bringing joy during hard times. He specializes in bringing fulfillment in times of destruction on the inside. He specializes in setting the captives free. He specializes in opening up blinded eyes. He specializes in making ways out of no ways. And I just want to know, is there anybody here at the 9 a.m. service that is grateful and can give God praise for the fact that God is with me no matter what it is I find myself walking through? So Mary, Elizabeth have this crazy encounter with God, and the house of Zechariah that was once empty has now been filled. Y'all, it's a whole party happening now. Because later on, we see that when Mary approaches Elizabeth and gives her a greeting, Elizabeth says, when you said something out your mouth, the baby leaped for joy on the inside of me. Now, I have a question for Elizabeth, because I ain't never carried no baby before, and I never will. Not built that way. Praise God for my wife. I've had a front row seat to 3 children being born in the delivery room. There is nothing but grace on the sisters in this place. Let y'all know. Men, come on. Don't leave me out here hanging. You there for them. It's like, babe, you got this. The Lord ain't equipped me for this. Y'all, I've been in that delivery room so many times, and I'm like, I don't know how my wife made it through. I would have passed out. After seeing what I saw, I've been traumatized. Probably need to go to some therapy for that at some point. But you know what I witnessed? A miracle. A miracle. I don't know what it felt like to have the baby moving around on the womb, on the inside of Elizabeth, but I wonder if every time John the Baptist moved on the inside, that she was also maybe filled with joy because she remembers, I remember there was a time in my life, and she's older now, she's older in age. Some believe that she might be in her 60s, maybe even 70s. I remember for 60 plus years how it felt to not have anything at all in here. But now a miracle is moving on the inside of me. And Mary, when you came to my house, he leaped for joy on the inside. Can I let you know that it doesn't matter how barren you might feel? And I'm not talking about barrenness in the form of not being able to give children and bear children. That could be true, and that might be true for some of us. And I believe that God is with you even in the midst of that painful moment that you might be walking through. But some of us, you also feel barren in other areas of your life. You feel like other areas of your life aren't producing anything. Can I let you know that God is right there with you? Can I let you know that God is beside you? He hasn't left you. He won't leave you. He will never forsake you, even in the tears when they run down your cheeks at night and you're trying to figure things out. Can I let you know that God is with you? He is not going nowhere. No, he is with you. And so when Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary, John the Baptist on the inside leaps for joy. It's a celebration happening. It's the epitome of you take my mourning and turn it to dancing. I wonder how many years maybe Elizabeth was mourning. But now joy has stepped in, because it's a reminder that in this Christmas season, the arrival of Jesus signifies to us that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. And the reason why I believe that this sermon today might be the most consequential sermon in this entire series, and I feel like I say that every week, and this is because God keeps giving me more revelation. But I believe if you don't get anything else out of today and anything else, if you don't hear another message in this entire sermon series for the rest of the year, it's this message. I want you to know that you are not alone in what you are walking through. I don't care what the enemy tries to tell you. I don't care who walked out on your life. I'm here to let you know that when others walk out, God always steps in. He is always there. He is always faithful. He is always good. You're not alone in this. Some of us, you're carrying some things today and you feel as if you're alone. I'm here to let you know you're not. I know it doesn't make sense. Can you imagine this? This miracle doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense, some of the things that some of us have walked through, but can I let you know this? God's still with you. He has not changed up on you. He's still present. You're not alone. Well, Pastor, how can you say that? How can you say that I'm not alone? Because when I look at this passage of scripture, I see some key truths that I believe if we understand and if we adopt and we receive in our heart, it can minister to us and help us to see the fact that God has not left us alone. Number one, I want you to write this down. We're not alone because of this, God's hand. Everybody say God's hand. I want you to look at verses 39 through 41. Here's what the Bible says. In those days, Mary set out and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judah, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll come back to that in a moment. But the first part of verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her. Why is this so profound and show the hand of God? Because this is the same Elizabeth who we see in Luke chapter 1, verse 7 for the first time. And her condition is different. Here's what the Bible says in verse 7 of Luke 1. But they had no children because Elizabeth could not conceive. And both of them were well along in years. So verse 7 it says, they had no children, meaning Elizabeth and Zechariah, because the Bible says Elizabeth could not conceive. But now here in verse 41, it says the baby leaped inside her. You're missing it. Verse 7, she had no baby. Verse 39 and 41, the baby is leaping on the inside of her. What does this show? It shows the miraculous hand of God. It shows that God has always had his hand on Elizabeth's life, that even through the barrenness, even through the darkness, even through the brokenness, God's hand has still been on Elizabeth's life to bring about something miraculous in Elizabeth's life. And the Bible even says this, that she's filled with the Holy Spirit. And these were all things that Gabriel said would happen back in Luke chapter 1, verse 15. And I want you to look at Elizabeth's words in Luke 1, 25. We said it last week, and I'm going to revisit it. Here's what she says. The Lord has done this for me. He has looked with favor in these days. Watch this. to take away my disgrace. Because back then, if you weren't able to have children, you were considered to be disgraced and cursed by God. She says, he has taken away my disgrace among the people. I love this, y'all, because here's what Elizabeth's saying. Elizabeth's saying, it was only God who did what he did in my life. It is only God who can take credit for this. It was only God who's been able to make a way out of nowhere. It was only God who was able to bring about this miracle in my life. It was only God who was able to cause a baby to be born in me when everybody said I would never be able to give birth. And can I ask us a question in here? Does any of you all have a testimony in here where you can say it was only God who did this? It was only God who brought my family back together. It was only God who freed me from an addiction. It was only God who saved me from my sin. It was only God. And what we learn from this is that no matter what we're walking through, good or bad, God still has his hand on you. Can I encourage us with some of this? I want you to write this down. God is still at work when nothing appears to be working. God is still at work when nothing appears to be working. I'm gonna say it again. God is still at work. Let me say it like this. God is still working when nothing appears to be working. When nothing appears to be working according to plan, God is still at work working his plan. Let me define it even more. When things are not working according to your plan, God's hand is still on you and he's still working it according to his plan. This is why Jeremiah 29 is 11, and 11 is so important. I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and give you hope and a future. And for some of us, we're in this place right now, and we feel as if I don't know, God, what your plan is. And here's what I've learned in 39 years of living. You and I don't have to have a full understanding of God's plan to be able to trust his plan. Because sometimes God is doing something beneath the surface that we don't see. Which is why he says, my ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than yours. God is at work when nothing appears to be working. I love this, family, because what this means is that God can take low moments and turn them into great moments. God can take depression and still bring forth the deliverance. God has his hand on your life, even when you feel like it's a mess in your life. Here's what I'm saying, that God is able to bring something miraculous out of what appears to be messy. Can I let us know that God actually does some of his best miracles from mess? If you look at Jesus and oftentimes how he heals some people, he healed a guy who could not see. And one of the ways that he healed a guy who could not see was by spitting on some dirt and making some clay and putting it on his eyes and causing him to be able to see. Can I let you know that sometimes God brings forth some of his best miracles out of some of life's messy situations? Can I let you know this, that maybe your mess is an invitation for God's miracle? Because for some of us in here, come on, let me just ask us, how many of y'all in here, if you be honest, you micromanage a little bit, just a little bit. Come on, I'm saying a little bit to give us some grace. I like everything to go according to plan on this day, at this hour, at this month, it has to be this. Come on, how many of y'all, come on, let's be honest, show your hands, how many of y'all like that? I need it to happen at this time. It has to happen in this way. It can't be a certain number of this. No. It has to be perfect. Can I let you know this? We live in an imperfect world. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. But here's the good news. We don't need this word to be perfect because we got a perfect God who is working his perfect plan in the midst of life's imperfections. He's still at work. He still has hand on you. And this is good news, family, because what this ultimately shows us is that he is the potter and we are the clay. When I thought about this, I thought about how many of y'all familiar with Play-Doh in here? Remember playing with Play-Doh back in the day. So I thought about this and I was like, man, I'm gonna show y'all sometimes, I believe, how life works, right? And so many of you guys are making cookies during this time of the year and you're doing all these great things and you have, you got some dough. And now I'm gonna let y'all know my cooking skills are not nearly as qualified as my wife's. And so the Lord didn't give me that ministry. Now I can grill a great hamburger and a great steak. Make some great pancakes. I can follow instructions really well, but I'm not the best chef, right? But here's one of the things, right? So when we think about our lives, it oftentimes it's almost like a lump of clay a lot of times. And as we have this kind of figure like this Play-Doh, a lot of times ultimately what happens is we feel like we're going through the motions, and we feel like we're going through life, and we're going through different circumstances, and our life is like this. It's a little messy at times, and we don't always understand it, right? But what God does, as he's the master and we're the clay, his desire is to mold us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And imagine this is Jesus, it's gingerbread guy, right? And a lot of times what happens is when the mess comes in our life, what God does is he has his hand on us. And what he's doing is he's molding us. But when I'm pressing down on this, there's a little bit of cutting that's happening. There's some pressure that's happening. Some of y'all are here and you feel like you're under pressure right now. And you're walking through some hardship right now. And it feels hard. Matter of fact, some of y'all have even thought this coming into your life, why is God punishing me? Why is this happening in my life? I wonder if Mary and Elizabeth thought that at one point. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder if they thought that. I wonder if Elizabeth wrestled with that because she was barren for so many years. Why would God do this to me? But maybe instead of believing what the enemy says, God is punishing you, maybe in all actuality, it's like God is molding you. And he's taking things that don't serve the purpose of the life that he has for you to live. And it don't feel good because he's taking some things apart. And he's using his master potter skills. And he's removing some things. Here's what Jesus says in John 15. He's pruning some things. He's cutting some things back. Some of y'all feel like you're in a cutting season right now. He's cutting these things away. But when you actually take a step back, what you see is that he's had his hand on you and he's been molding you the whole entire time. I'm here to let you know, family, he's not punishing you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. He has his hand on your life. Come on. He's producing something miraculous in your life. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful that the hand of God has been on your life? You may not be able to make sense out of some things, but what you do know is that God has had his hand on your life. He's been working things for your good. He had his hand on your life when you went through depression. He had his hand on your life when you went through the darkest valley. Come on. He had his hand on you when you were struggling with different things. Thank God that God doesn't take his hand off of us. No, he's molding us and he's shaping us and he's growing you us. And I don't know about you, I'm grateful for the fact that even when I strayed away and even when I did some things that I had no business doing, God still had his hand on my life. I'll let you know that he has his hand on you. Tell the person beside you, he has his hand on you. He has his hand on you. Anthony, you can grab these. He has his hand on you. And one of the things that's important for us to understand is this. I want you to write this down. It may be painful, but with God, it's purposeful. It may be painful. It might be hurting. But it is purposeful. But Pastor, how can you say that? Because when I look at Jesus on the cross, he went through the most unbelievable pain that any person would experience, excruciating pain. Matter of fact, that word excruciating actually comes, is connected to the word crucifixion. Jesus experienced the most excruciating pain, but it was for a purpose. It was for your deliverance. It was for your freedom. It was for you to be forgiven from all of your sins, past, present, and future. Thank God that Jesus came from heaven to earth to experience pain for us, so that way now when you and I go through painful circumstances, that pain is not wasted. No, he uses that pain to bring about something beautiful. I'm here to let you know it may be painful, but with God, it's purposeful. Which means this, if God has his hand on your life, if he's molding your life, here's what you can have confidence in, God's help. If God has his hand on you, then that also means what's available to you is God's help. And we see this here in verses 41 through 43. Here's what the Bible says. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped inside her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and your child will be blessed." Verse 43, "How could this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" I want you to see something that happens early in verse 41. It says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. This is important to recognize, because as we see throughout scripture, the Holy Person, the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. Amen. He's not just some ghost. No, he is a person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is the very presence of God who dwells on the inside of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord through faith in what he came to do on the cross and through his resurrection. Here's what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit is the very presence of God. And in the scripture, there's many different names for the Holy Spirit. One of them is Comforter. How the Holy Spirit, he comforts us. That in our time of affliction, God comforts us through his presence in the form of the Holy Spirit. But not only is he our comforter, he's also our advocate. And not only is he our advocate, this is one of my favorite names that Jesus says about him, he is also our helper. The paraclete, if you will. The God who helps us. And before Jesus would ascend to heaven after his resurrection from the dead, he promised to send help in the form of his Holy Spirit. So when the Bible says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, it speaks to this reality that she had received help from God through the Spirit of God. And here's the main takeaway I want us to understand with this, that no matter what it is that you're facing, not only are you not alone because God is with you, but that God has provided help for you in the form of his Spirit and the presence of God. Meaning this, you're not alone in this. You not only got God's hand on you, you got God's help with you. So here's what Psalm 46 verse 1 says. God is our refuge and strength. He is a helper. Everybody say helper. Who is always, everybody say always. Last time I checked, always means always. Who is always found in times of trouble. Meaning this, if you find yourself in some trouble right now, of all kinds, God is there with you right now through his Spirit. You're not by yourself in this whole thing. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. I will strengthen you, and I will help you. But what's interesting, family, is not only do we see God's help in the form of his presence through the Holy Spirit, but God also provides help for both Mary and Elizabeth, not just through his presence, but also through their presence towards one another. I love this, y'all, because it's the epitome of, Mary, you're not the only one going through something like this. Elizabeth, you're not the only one going through something like this. But instead, both of y'all are going through something miraculous, and God has brought the two of you all together and connected the two of y'all together as a physical reminder that God is with you. Why is this so good news? Because here's what this lets us know, is that God reminds us and he reveals his help through his presence, but he also reveals his help in the form of his people. I'm here to let you know that what it is that you're walking through right now, you are not alone in that. Why? Because the presence of God is with you. And here's what I also know, because he's so good and because he's so loving, he's also provided some people that he has situated around you for you to be able to lean on, for you to be able to open up to, for you to be able to trust in, for you to be able to come alongside of. He's brought some people in your life to encourage you, but he's also brought you into their life to encourage them. Tell the person beside you, you're not alone in this. No, because here's what we have God's help. He provides his help in the form of his presence, and he provides help in the form of his people. Here's what Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says. It says, carry one another's burdens, because in doing so you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens. Here's what this means. It means that you and I were not meant to carry the burdens that we have in our life by ourselves. And I think for the word for some of us in here today that God is trying to get you to understand is that you don't have to walk through what you're walking through by yourself. God has actually put some people around you to help to encourage you and to strengthen you. I know for some of us in here, you're like, I don't need no help. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. I got my own money. I'm 15. I'm grown.
can only nobody. Can I let you know this? Everybody needs some help. Because life has a way of beating you down, and life has a way of lifing and getting you to this point where it brings you to your knees. But can I help you understand that when it does bring you to this place, here's what you got to understand. You are not alone in this, because God's presence is there with you, and God surrounds you with godly people. That's why the church is so important. This is why I believe that the enemy does everything he can to keep us disconnected from one another. That's why he does everything he can to keep you from coming to church on Sunday, to keep you from getting in a connect group, from keeping you from serving on the team, because he understands that if y'all get together and if y'all actually link up, things will actually begin to change. Encouragement will actually begin to flow. Joy would actually begin to be present, because there's power in partnership. I can be encouraged, y'all. You can be encouraged that you're not alone because of God's hand, but also because of God's help. And I love this, because I believe this: God will send people your way like a Mary and Elizabeth to remind you that you're not alone in this. Can I minister to some of you in here today who feel like you don't have any friendships, any people? Maybe for some of you, you're really close to your family, but your family has gone through a lot of breakups and a lot of tearing apart and ruptures of relationships. And it's easy in that moment to believe that I don't have anybody who cares for me. Can I let you know that's not true? Number one, God cares about you, and he cares so much about you that he has sent and put some people around you. All you got to do is tap into them. That's why Mary went to Elizabeth's house. She didn't go through this by herself. Elizabeth didn't go through this by herself. They had each other because they're better together, which now reveals this. Not only does it show God's hand, not only does it show God's help, but it also ultimately shows God's heart. Can I let you know this? Verse 45, here's what the Bible says. I love this verse. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken to her. Blessed is the one and the woman, and she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill what he has spoken to her. So now the question you got to ask is, what was spoken to her? Her being Mary. What was spoken to her from Gabriel back in early part of Luke chapter 1 is that she would give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Gabriel told her that. But she could have chose not to believe that. But we see that by the end of their interaction, she says, let it be as you have said, according to your word. She believed that God would do exactly what he would do. But it speaks actually of something much greater. That when God makes this promise to Mary, it is actually not just a promise that he's making to Mary. It's a promise that he's fulfilling to humanity that he always said he would do. And that promise was that he would send his son down to save us from our sins. So this is what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. God's love was revealed from among us in this way, that he sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. So that we might live through him. Verse 10, love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Can I let you know this? God already proved how much he loves you, and he proved it by sending his son, Jesus Christ. If you need any proof as to whether or not you're loved, look at the cross. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says it like this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I don't know if that ministers to you like it ministers to me. While I was still jacked up, while I was still toe up, while I was still rebelling against God, while I was still disobeying God, Christ died for me. He demonstrated his love for me while I was lost, while I was still wilding out, while I was still doing all the things contrary to God's will and to God's word. God had already demonstrated his love for me by sending his son down for me. And I want to know, is there anybody grateful for the fact that God the Father sent his son down while you were still a sinner, while you were still messed up, while you were still cussing people out, while you were still disobeying God's word? God sent his son to show you how much he loves. Loves you more than you can imagine. He proved it. He said, you need proof of my love? I gave you my son. I sent him down. Because as I've always said, the greatest gift is not the gift under the tree, it's the gift that hung on the tree. Being his son, Jesus Christ. It's not about love here on earth. It's about love coming down from heaven to earth. That's how he demonstrated His love, John 3:16, many of us know this scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have eternal life. God so loved the world. And the reason why this is so important for some of us to understand is because some of you are here today and you think God hates you. And the reason why some of us believe, and I feel this prophetically, feel like God hates you, is because your earthly parents have given the impression that they hate you. And you've attributed your earthly relationship to your eternal relationship with God. But I hear God saying, do not put me in the same box as people on earth who may have let you down. My love for you is not conditional. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I loved you when nobody else was thinking about you. I loved you when nobody was there for you. I loved you when you got it right. I loved you when you got it wrong. My love for you has not changed. And you don't got to earn my love. And you don't got to work for my love. And you don't got to perform for my love. All you got to do is receive my love. By grace, through faith. And I love this, y'all. I want you to write this down, because God's heart is seen not only in what he gives to you, but in who he gave for you. God's love is not seen in him blessing you with new tangible things. Those are good. Don't get me wrong. But God's heart is ultimately seen not in what he gives to you, but in who he gave for you. And the reason why I love this scripture and I love what's happening here in Luke 1:45, because it lets me know this. It doesn't matter if I get a gift. It doesn't matter if you get a new video game. It doesn't matter if you get a new relationship this holiday season. God has shown his love for you and giving his best in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. You might not get a single phone this year. You might not get a new pair of shoes this year. You might not get a Christmas card or a card to Amazon. But if you look at the fact that God already showed you his love by sending his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to earth, that's the only picture of love that you really need to have in your life. Yes, it's good to get tangible gifts, but I would rather have the eternal gift in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. If I don't get another thing from anybody else, I'm glad, because I already got Jesus. It means this, that no matter what I've done, no matter what I've said, no matter how much I've sinned, no matter how many times I've failed, no matter who's left you, the pain that you're experiencing, his love and his heart, it's for you. I'm going to close with the scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. I love this scripture because I believe for some of us, this is what you need to hear this Christmas season. Because some of us are walking through the season and you feel like you're not loved and you feel overlooked and you feel alone. Can I let you know you're not? Ephesians 3 tells us something. He says this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and the width and the height and the depth of God's love. Verse 19, and to know Christ's love, watch this, that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be, here's this word we've seen in Elizabeth's case, filled with all the fullness of God. Can I let you know God wants to fill your life? What does he want to fill your life? Not with gifts, not with all these tangible. No, he wants to fill your life with his love. He wants to fill your life with his compassion. He wants to fill your life with his mercy. He wants to fill your life with his grace. And his love is wide. And his love is long. And his love is wide. And his love is deep. Here's what Paul is saying. His love never runs out. It doesn't matter where you run to. His love is still there with you. It doesn't matter how far off track you get. His love is still with you. And I wish I had about five people in here that can get excited about the fact that the love of God is endless. The love of God is eternal. The love of God is for me. Thank God for his love. And we see his love on full display even through Mary and through Elizabeth. We see his heart, that he was sending his son. And some of you, you might be here today online and in person, and you're like, man, I've been walking through so much hardship and so much difficulty. I'm here to encourage some of you who feel alone right now during this Christmas season. But Christmas is the ultimate reminder that you are not alone. And you might be here today and the enemy has convinced you that you're alone, but I'm here to tell you today that you're not alone. God is with you. The reason why you made it through what you made it through is because God is with you. The reason why you made it through that valley situation is because God is with you. The reason why you were able to overcome that addiction is because God is with you. The reason why you were able to overcome and persevere in the midst of that divorce is because God is with you. The reason why you were able to overcome the sickness is because God is with you. The reason why you were able to overcome the loss of a loved one in the midst of the pain that you felt and experienced experience the comfort of God, it's because God is with you. I'm here to let you know that it doesn't matter what it is that you're walking through. God is with you. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Thank God that we got a God who is with us and we're not alone. He's present. Never to leave. Never to forsake us. And what I love about Mary and Elizabeth's story, the miracle was Jesus on the inside of Mary, John the Baptist on the inside of Elizabeth. Do you know what this shows me also about Christmas? That Christmas isn't just about Christ being with you, but also about Christ being in you. That's the miracle of Christmas. That God sent his son down. And now through his obedient life, to death on the cross, to resurrection from the grave, the sending of his Holy Spirit, he now dwells on the inside of us through faith. Can I let you know this? You got Christ in you through faith in him just as much as Mary did back then. Just as he's with Mary and in Mary, he's also in you. Not physically growing in your womb, but his presence is with you in your spirit. He's with you. He's in you. So I think this is why David prophetically could say this in Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. He also says in that, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you know what Jesus says he is in John 10? I am the good shepherd. The shepherd. Nobody to stand to our feet in this moment. For every person in here who feels alone, some of you feel alone because of betrayal. Some of you feel alone because of what's happening right now in your life. Some of you feel alone because of what's happening in your home. I thought about calling this message today, There's Hope for Your House. Because hope showed up to Zechariah's and Elizabeth's house. And just as hope showed up to their house, Jesus has come to bring hope to your house. And I just sense in this season, as there's so much singing, there's a lot of Christmas songs and Christmas movies. We've been watching them. Elf is my favorite. Every time it's on, I turn to the TV and my family's upset. They're okay, get over it. It's holy unto God. It's a gift from God. It's the gift that keeps on giving. But some of us are going through this season. You hear all the Christmas songs. You see all the Christmas movies. But on the inside, you're like, I'm not feeling it this year. I feel overwhelmed. I feel overworked. I feel stressed. I feel alone. I'm here to let you know you're not. God is with you. And not only is he with you, he wants to dwell in you so that you can also say like David, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. So Father, I pray over every person in this place, online and in person, who is feeling the weight of loneliness. I pray for Father, for the person right now who feels alone because their mother is not here this year. Their father is not here this year. Their child is not here this year. A friendship has been deteriorated. I pray for the person who feels alone because they just lost their job, because they just received news and a diagnosis that they did not plan on hearing. I pray for that person right now that you would comfort them in the middle of what they're walking through, that they would know that you are with them, that just as you were with Mary and just as you were even with Elizabeth through all those years of barrenness, that you are also with my brothers and sisters in this place. I pray for the young person right now who feels alone because of things happening at school right now. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would let them know that you love them, that you are with them, never to leave them, never to forsake them. In Jesus' name, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and you're like, Pastor Edwin, today, I want to receive Jesus. I don't want to walk through life any longer not having relationship with him. I want to let you know, family, that life will always be hard without Jesus. It doesn't mean that with Jesus, everything will be perfect. But without Jesus, it's almost unbearable. But with him, you experience life and life forevermore. So if you're here today and you're like, man, I want Jesus. I've been trying to do it my own way. I need his help. I need his hand. I want his heart. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. On the count of three, can you shoot up your hand if you want this relationship with him? You want a new beginning? You want to start fresh with Jesus? No matter what you've done, he's inviting you to come to him. On the count of three, shoot up your hand. One, two, three, wherever you are. Come on, shoot up your hand. Just want to see you. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. Amen. You want a new beginning with Jesus? Just shoot up your hand wherever you are. Father, for every hand lifted, I pray that they would know that you are the light of the world. That they would know that you are for them and not against them. And for every hand lifted, I want you to say these words after me. It is a prayer of faith. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, we will be saved. Meaning this, we'll be put into relationship with him. Saved from our sins. So say these words. Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your life. I receive your love. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church, can we put our hands together? I saw some hands go up today. Come on, can we celebrate all that God has done?